Welcome. Jump into the Compassionate Leader Circle podcast, where leading with love isn't just nice, it's genius. I'm Laurel Donnellan.
And I'm Daryl Brown. We'll unpack business strategies infused with empathy and action, driving both profit and purpose. Our world is ever-changing, so discover how the savvy leader wears compassion as their power suit.
Welcome to the Compassionate Leader Circle podcast. It's my great honor to have the co-founder and CEO of MedZed, Scott Schnell. And before he and I start talking, I'm just going to talk a little bit about the principle of balance. So in our Compassionate Leader Circle model, we have a principle of balance and a practice of encouraging sustainability for leaders. And when we talk about encouraging sustainability, I think our guest today knows a lot about this. So we're talking about our own sustainability and balance as leaders, which is often hard to find, encouraging the happiness and sustainability of our team members. And in Scott's case, his whole life and whole company is about encouraging health and sustainability of his members. So welcome, Scott, to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
It's my great honor. So I'm going to have you tell us all about MedZed and what MedZed is. I'm very curious about the name. Like, where did it come from and what do you guys do?
I do orientation with every person as they start. It's part of my thing. And I do two different parts of orientation. The first one is a couple, 10, 15 minutes the day they start. I want to introduce myself, give them my story, tell them who I am. And then I'll do a longer session after they've been here about a month, where I talk about values and take them through what's important to the company and behaviors and that kind of thing, our mission. And in the first section, 10 or 15 minutes, brand new people, I end my session saying, what questions do you have for me? And I always get no answer. But the few times where anyone has asked a question, that is the question they ask. So I chuckle because the answer is kind of boring. The answer is, when I started MedZed, I was approached by a friend of mine who was working with a doctor, and they had an idea, and they were looking for somebody who might want to take that idea and turn it into a business. And my personality is such that I think I can solve any problem. And healthcare we didn't talk about my background, but healthcare is certainly a sticky one. And I said, that sounds interesting. And they said, here's our business plan. And here's what we're using to sort of think about the business. And it had the name MedZed at the top. And I'm an operator. I'm a lot of things, but a creative marketer is not on my list. And I didn't come up with anything better. So the MedZed name is what stuck. And I've kept it. And you know, the further I've gotten into it, it's now 12 years, and I have enough shirts, and my team has enough shirts that it's sort of getting out there, and people are wearing it. That it is that I kind of like it as a brand. I think it's starting to have a cachet of its own in the markets we serve.
Yeah. Well, I've been following what you all have been doing for a while, and it's memorable, which is important. You get to create meaning yourself. But I do want to go back to your history. I noticed that you went to the University of Michigan. I've spent some time in Michigan. I'm curious about you as a person, like where you grew up and how you ended up solving business problems.
I'm born and raised in New York, in the New York area. I went to school in the Midwest. I had businesses. I used to pull a wagon when I was 8, 9, 10 years old and sold juice in containers. This was in a time where you could only get frozen orange juice, for example, or frozen other juices. And there was a store that sold half gallons of pre-made juices. And my mother used to drive me to that store. I would pick them up. I would call on my neighbors and go door to door with my little wagon to sell. I was entrepreneurial from a young age, and I kind of knew that's where I ultimately wanted to be. And I went to school in Ann Arbor, as you said, go blue. I became an accountant. The numbers sort of worked for me. I knew I wanted to be in business in some entrepreneurial way. I didn't know how to get there. I wasn't sure how I would get there. But I decided that accounting and finance would be a great foundation upon which to build. Turned out to be a good decision for me. I was good at it. It came easy. I was good at it. And I was a public accountant for 5 years. My career, I knew I wanted to be an operator. I wasn't sure what that would look like, but I got an opportunity to move to Georgia. So I left New York. I moved to Georgia. And I ultimately met my wife and we raised three boys down here. And I ran a baseball card company in Georgia that we grew very, very quickly. We grew it from nothing to about $80 million in a four-year period. So I got to cut my teeth sort of in a new industry, operational, and really, really enjoyed the experience. I will tell you that getting to Georgia was sort of an exercise for me in leaning in and saying yes. Someone said, do you want this opportunity? And I've interviewed hundreds of people since then. And there are some people who are looking to say no, you can tell. And there are some people who are looking to say yes. I'm of the ilk that if something's interesting to me, I want to say yes. So great decision for me. I went on from there to co-found a company with someone I know since I'm 5 years old that we sold and installed home improvement products for one of the major home improvement retailers. And we did it in 40 states. We had 5,000 people that we grew from scratch. And it was a service business similar to what I have here. And it created we built that business on a foundation of a strong team living by sort of a robust set of values and culture, and then overlaid with technology. And that was foundational to our success in that business and something I carried with me. I went on from there to run a chain of garden centers, nurseries down in the Southeast, a retail business, and went on from there to work at a building materials company that took me back and forth to China. So the common thread through all that is because there are disparate industries, a curiosity and a relentless drive to get to an answer. There's no question I won't ask. And I am relentless in sort of driving to an answer and looking for a better solution. I tend not to be satisfied, which brought me to MedZed, which I told you earlier was where the name came from. I was introduced to an idea and I had an opportunity to lean into healthcare.
Thank you so much for your story. And I'm already thinking about titles for the Forbes post, and it might be from baseball cards to healthcare. I do love what I hear in your story is saying yes, leaning into yes, curiosity. And I do think great business skills cross sectors very easily. I think sometimes people pigeonhole themselves in a particular discipline or sector. And I love that you've been able to apply all your skills to so many things. We heard the creation story of Scott. So let's hear the creation story of MedZed, how that came about. And for my listeners, what you actually do like every day as a company.
Before I get to what we do, I'd love to tell you sort of the journey within MedZed for me. I grew up fortunate. I grew up blessed. I didn't think about where my next meal was coming from. I was lucky. And I will tell you that I realize today, I am more grateful for how lucky I was today than I was when I was in the moment, going to school, et cetera, et cetera. I take everything I've learned over many, many decades, multiple decades, and I get to apply it to healthcare, which is a very complicated industry. Not a surprise, but it's complicated. And I am in a business today that gets to help people who really need the help. And I get to lead a team of people who are empathetic and want to support those who are more needy than we are. And I think maybe most importantly, from a personal learning perspective, because I don't come from, I come from a, I come from a good, lucky place. I get to lead a business that helps people live, be the best versions of themselves. And over the years, I have learned, over 10 years, I have learned to not judge, to meet people where they are, to use words that I have expressed that I've not used in the past. And I am grateful for that as I approach end of career, closer to end of career than the beginning of my career, to be able to give back is phenomenal. So what do I do? MedZed, we keep people out of the hospital. Nobody wants to go to the hospital. There's nobody who wakes up in the morning and say, gee, I really want to go spend 10 hours at getting triaged and then getting cared for and then getting admitted because I have a sore throat. There's nobody who wants to do that. People do it because they're frightened. People do it because they feel unsupported. People do it because they don't have the skills to take care of, to get that care somewhere else. And by keeping people out of the hospital, we are able to save the system money. And that's what makes our world work. By taking teams, we take teams of community health workers. And these are people who are of the communities that we serve. Many of them share the stories around which we our members have. And we put them in the community. They live in the community. They serve members in the community, and they help them with their social needs. They help them with their food. They help get them to the doctor. They help them get a job sometimes. They help them learn to dress to buy clothes for a job. We help people with housing. We help people get medications because the system doesn't accommodate them effectively. Most importantly, we help them get to their doctor's appointment or schedule a doctor's appointment. You and I both know that even for us, scheduling an appointment can take months. It can be very difficult, cumbersome. You're pressing lots of buttons and you get a runaround. We help people who are far less fortunate than us make that do that work. So by doing that work, we empower them, we inspire them, we help them stay out of the hospital. And that team of community-based resources serve our members with compassion, building trust, to, as I said, inspire them, to help them be the best versions, be the best versions of themselves. So they are very much in the communities they serve. Many of them had stories. I used to interview every person we hired. They had stories about their grandmother or their fill in the blank, their sibling, and those are the people we take care of by helping them engage with the system, with the goal of not needing to go to the hospital. And the focus of the people we support are those who are struggling the most, those who might be living on the street, those who might be disengaged from society in many, many different ways. And we help reconnect them and inspire them. We call our technical software, our technology platform, we call it Tapestry. And a long time ago, we dubbed it Tapestry. It came from somebody I was chatting with in the space. And I think of myself as having this rich, multicolored, dense tapestry. The weave is tight, and it's my life. It's colorful, and the people we serve, they're fraying, and there are holes in it, and they're monochromatic, and we seek to bring a little bit more color to it, a little bit more support to it, so they can thrive. And ultimately reduce the amount of time and cost that they have to spend in a hospital.
I'd like to dig a little into the business model, because I think there's probably listeners like me who don't really understand how this works. And then I'd like to hear a couple of stories about your community health navigators so that we can get a sort of boots on the ground feeling from you. But who pays for this? How do you make money as a company?
So we're paid by the insurance company. The insurance company has groups of people that they call unable to contact. These people, as I said, are in and out of the hospital. They say, and they're not using their primary care doctor. but they're using more expensive forms of care. So they have a bolus of people that need that care, and they say, "Here, MedZed, we can't find them. Can you help us?" And our differentiator, what makes us better than anyone out there, is that we'll find upwards of 40% of the people that were referred. So normally, companies do telephonic outreach, and that's mostly what they'll do, and they'll find 15%, 20% of them by making phone calls. We will do that, and then we'll find another. So the people that are unable to contact, we will find 15 or 20% on the phone, and then we will find another 15 or 20% by knocking on their doors. So we found them, and now we do our thing. But that's where it starts.
Amazing. So you need people to work for you that really, really care, but also have courage to get out in their community and seek people out.
Very, very true. And, you know, it's a challenge because the people that we seek to hire have to do two things well. They have to be willing to knock on a stranger's door, which is never easy, and they need to build a relationship. That's also hard. And then they have to provide care to on an ongoing basis for 6 to 12 months. So very distinct activities that they do, the skill sets that they have to do that work.
Could you tell us a couple of stories maybe of people out in the field and how they're doing and how they figure this out and maybe how they help people?
We have team meetings, so every part of every team meeting is for those who are working in the field to share their stories, to keep the rest of us connected to what we do and why we do. The best story that I take away is we had a person who showed up at someone's house, and they went into the house and it smelled like rotten eggs. And there are four or five people in the home. They're going to see one person, and it smelled like rotten eggs. And they knew, we teach, that rotten eggs means your gas is off. So the person got everyone out of the house, because it's very dangerous, got everyone out of the house and called the gas company. And the gas company came, and they turned the pilot light back on, and they were able to go back in the house. But in that moment, what the family realized and what the gas company said was the family didn't know. They would have gone to sleep that night and they would have all died. And because we were there, because our community health navigator was able to solve the problem, that family is alive today. We do things like that. And I hear these stories with regularity. I heard another story about a person we were trying to help who was living in a trailer, very, very dirty, an unhealthy environment, was resistant to care. And as we built the relationship, what the person really wanted was to be able to see well. They needed eyeglasses. So we worked with that person to get them eyeglasses. And it's not easy. Working the system is not easy, but we helped them get eyeglasses. We were there. Remember, our goal is to keep them out of the hospital. But a lot of things contribute to somebody needing healthcare. We got them eyeglasses. They went into their home. They see better. And they say, "Oh, we've got to clean this up." So the next step was we're working and helping them clean up the place they live in, or helping make that happen. And then as you're building that trust, you get to the healthcare that they need, whether it's help with diabetes or depression or whatever it might be, then you can start to get to those things.
It's amazing what has happened from just connecting people to another human.
Right.
Like so many beautiful ripple effects.
And for us, it's very much about their labors of love that the people that I work with do. They love the care. They love what they do. They're deeply empathetic and passionate about it. And good things come of it.
Tell us about your growth. How have you've been doing this for 12 years, is that right?
Yep.
So tell us about how you've grown and what the future might look like for growth.
So last year we grew 35% over the year before that. And this year we're expecting to grow by 50 or 60%. So we're growing very quickly. Sadly, the need is greater than the need is great. The need for services like ours is vast, and we're growing with it. Where I think about the future, and I talked about our brand a little bit and where the name came from. And I kind of talked about this being important. I go back to that, which is in 5, 10, 15 years down the road in the future, I really want us to be a respected brand that people smile when they see it, because they know that what we're doing for people who really need it. So the people are... You're smiling because you know that we're helping somebody, and the person that we're helping smiles because they know that we're coming to help them, and the brand starts to have its own cachet and trust embedded within it.
So how can we all help you that are listening do more of this or get customers? I mean, your customers, your paying customers are insurance companies, yes?
Yes.
So can I like call my insurance company and say, hey, you should do this, or how how can we help you?
Great question. How could you help me? For those listeners who are leaning into this, you or others who are saying, yeah, this is incredibly valuable, you can certainly make introductions to insurance companies or to large, what I'll call at-risk provider groups, who have members who are disengaged, members who are unable to contact. And they tend to be poorer, older, and struggling in their daily lives. And those are the people that we're most suited to help. And the system does well with people who have good support networks, people who have cars, people who are still working. But for those who are truly struggling with behavioral health issues or substance use disorders or mobility, we can really provide that support. Every insurance company has those people. Somebody referred to us as their Navy SEALs. We go where no one else goes, and we're sort of the last mile. Those are the people we work with.
Yeah. Before knowing about you, I really had no idea that something like this exists. And I just think it's amazing. It's a miracle, really. And it does make me smile. And it makes me sad that there's so many people that aren't touched yet, right? Like that aren't helped yet.
And look, there are a lot of community-based organizations that help a lot of people. I was on a board of one. It's part of how I sort of learned how to... I just learned a lot about the people we serve from this board I was on, and working in the food bank, and maybe that's part of my answer. How can people help? I'm not sure that they can help MedZed directly, but we can volunteer at our food banks.
We can all do something for our communities through our church, through not-for-profits, through food banks, and the need is huge.
Yes. I think those are all things that we can do to help.
And how many states are you in, or how do you measure your growth or your impact?
We serve about 10,000 people today. We have served, over close to 100,000 people over the time we've been doing this. Our goal is, so we measure it in the lives that we impact, the number of lives we impact.
I saw a lot of stats on your website. I didn't remember any of them, but I am also curious, like, what is the impact on the insurance companies, or how do you save them money? I think that's interesting too.
When you ask me what we do, I tend to start with the benefit to the insurance company, because while what we do pulls at the heart and makes the engine run, at the end of the day, well, it is the engine, but the What has to happen is we have to reduce utilization. And we've had health plans tell us that we will reduce hospitalizations by as much as 50%. And we will reduce ED visits by 30 and 40%. So we are moving the needle. We are generating a return on investment for our customers, which is impactful, and which is why they can hire us and engage us and let us serve more members.
One of the things I like to ask my CEOs that I get to talk to is, what is the best part of your job and what is the hardest part of your job?
The best part of my job is working with the people I work with, watching them grow, helping them grow, solving their problems. I get joy out of being able to do that every day. I'm not sure they get joy out of me doing it every day, but I get joy out of helping them do that every single day. The hardest part of my job is probably recognizing through whatever is going on that how I show up matters. The organization, I'm 60 plus years old, and it's taking me a long time to realize that the organization feeds off of me one way or another. The way I show up impacts how they show up, instills confidence or lack of confidence. Doing that through thick and thin in times when you're worried about making payroll can be really hard. Fortunately, I'm not in that position. I'm not in that position, but I have certainly been there. And when you're worried about making payroll and you're saying, I've got payroll in 3 days, how am I going to do this? That can be really trying, and knowing that you've got hundreds of lives who you are responsible, hundreds of families that are dependent on you, is a massive amount of stress. And showing up the right way, that's really hard.
How do you manage your own stress?
3 years ago, I decided I was going to become a triathlete.
Oh.
So I've leaned into swimming, biking, more exercise, swimming, biking, and running. In fact, last year, I did a half Ironman, which takes, for those who don't know, it's a mile swim, it's 55 miles on a bike, and it's 13 miles of running. Took me 6+ hours. And that is the thing that I've done to maintain my own health and sanity.
I'm very impressed with that, Scott. Well done.
Thank you.
Is there anything else you want people to know about MedZed or you before we wrap up with a few final questions?
Every business is a people business. There's some number of people who are in the business. In our case, we are very much dependent on adding more people to grow faster. And to do that requires a lot of different things, a lot of moving parts to do that. It requires the right people doing the teaching. It requires the right training materials. It requires hiring the right people. It requires the right management. And I think fundamentally, what it requires is that what I call balancing humanity and productivity. Because on the one hand, I need to generate revenue, each person has to do more. But for each person to do more is hard. So we lean into technology to do that, for sure. And we also always can never lose sight of the humanity of what we do for our members and live that with each other. It's hard and it conflicts with one another. And it's really important for us to grow and to build the company we want to build. Our turnover is very low for healthcare, for our space. What we do is really difficult. And the people who do it every single day, I am grateful for them being at my side to do it and providing them the support they need is a challenge and something we live with every day.
Yeah, I would say that being the Navy SEALs of healthcare is not for everyone, but if it's probably super satisfying for those that are part of your team.
I think that's right.
Yeah. So we always like to ask two questions at the end of our podcast. What is one life lesson you'd like to share with our listeners? And what is one leadership lesson you'd like to share?
The life lesson is to be relentless and never give up. Perhaps be curious and ask lots of questions. Figure out what you care about, figure out your passion, and never lose sight of it. And then I think most importantly, and this is something that's coming more recently for me, that you should enjoy the journey because it's the only one you get. And I would tell you that the leadership lesson, I talked about this a little earlier, how you show up matters. The team is always watching you, and try and let joy and humor be part of every day.
Yeah, I mean, it may not be fair as a leader or as a parent, but it's like your team is watching you. They're feeling, if you're coming in grumpy, they're feeling it. Someone told me a long time ago, how you show up as a leader is going to be at the dinner table of your team later on. So you're not only affecting them, but you're affecting their spouse and their kids and their parents. And everyone's going to hear about you if you don't show up in a dignified way. And if, when you do show up in a dignified way, people are going to hear about that too. So, and how do we find out about you, your company? Where do we go?
Best place is website. It's mymedzed.com, mymedzed.com. We spend a lot of energy iterating that site.
Well, I am so impressed with you. You are an amazing, compassionate leader. You bring home this idea of sustainability. Before we met, I didn't know that you were a triathloner, or how do you say it? Triathlete. Get the English correct, Laurel. It's been a pleasure spending time with you this afternoon. Thank you.
And that's a heart-wrapped episode of the Compassionate Leader Circle podcast. May your compass always point to kindness.
As you navigate the world, let compassion be your North Star. Join us next time as we continue to redefine success one heart-led decision at a time.
Lead wisely, lead with heart. You can learn more about us at CompassionateLeadersCircle.com.